Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
You've got to get a new producer. You've got to get new co-host, WGR. Everybody needs to be fired.
Howard Simon.
Stop talking! All right. Oh, for God's sake! Right. Just stop for a second!
Jeremy White.
I'm in a really bad mood about everything right now. My entire sports life sucks.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
And on that note, let's talk more about the Bills-Dolphins matchup, kid.
I'm coming at you with a Stat of the Year nominee later, too.
Whoa!
Got a good one.
Whoa!
Yeah, Stat of the Year nominee.
Where did that go? Wow, I got to tell you that. I am all excited for this one. We will talk Bills-Dolphins. We'll remind you again, of course, we have the game here on WGR. If you're looking for it on television, you might be used to this game being on CBS. But no, it is on Fox on Sunday. Brandon Gaudin will be calling the play-by-play. Actually, if you watched the UB-Nebraska game last Saturday, you would have seen Brandon's work. He is joining us right now on the Western Hotline. Brandon, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Absolutely, guys. Great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's only week two, so you know we try not to get too carried away with a game this early in the schedule, but a big early season divisional matchup, wouldn't you say, with the Bills and the Dolphins in this one?
Well, I think the way the schedule works out is interesting, and it makes it bigger than it normally would be. And that's a simple fact that Miami is 1-0, and the Bills and everybody else in the AFC East are 0-1. So if you lose this, you're already two behind, and it really kind of puts Miami early in the catbird seat. So from that standpoint, I think it's a huge game. Now, after the week one loss, look, fans are fans. I'm a fan of certain teams. For college basketball, I went to Butler. When Butler loses early in the season, I tend to overreact and get angry. I'm a little more level-headed when I'm an outside observer, but I understand why Bills fans were angry after that loss to Pittsburgh. But I think the message emanating from the Bills and their staff this week of, hey, it's never as good as it seems and never as bad as it seems, is accurate. It was just one loss, and I think long-term here the Bills are going to be just fine.
Let's get your thoughts on both teams. We'll start with the Bills. What are you most interested to see from them on Sunday?
The thing I was really curious to see in Game 1 was the running game, and that actually I thought was pretty good if you look at the numbers. But I'm curious to see how they run the ball against Miami. You know, Miami's front, not as good as the Steelers, and they really didn't get much pressure. I'm curious to see how the Bills run the ball. And then how Buffalo does in the red zone. I mean, against Pittsburgh, got in the red zone four times, only able to produce one touchdown, had to settle for three field goals, and that was certainly one of the biggest differences in that game. So when they get in the red zone, can they take advantage? Because last year, even with all the good offensive numbers and over 500 points and some of the records that they set, there were still times in the red zone where they had issues converting into touchdowns in key situations. So I think those are a couple of things that I'll be watching to see if the Bills can do better week two down in Miami.
All right, flip it around. What do you think are the most interesting storylines for the Dolphins? I'm guessing somewhere in here you will mention Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills have obviously had the Dolphins' number as of late. There's just no question. They've won seven of the last eight. And Miami, I don't know if it plays as much in the NFL as it does with college when you look at a game like Week 17. And, yes, you know, Miami had to have that game last year to get the playoffs, and they got blown out 56-26. are they pinning up pictures of the Bills in their lockers and their kids? I don't think that that plays as much with professionals, but certainly they remember that game. But I think more to them and more to a guy like Tua as a competitor is, this is a team that Miami hasn't beaten. And so there's probably a little extra motivation to figure out what's going on here and to also get that, as we talked about, early two-game advantage over Buffalo within the division. So that's interesting to watch. But I think the thing for Miami is they forced turnovers. That's what they did last year. And they forced a turnover in 23 straight games. That's by far and away the longest streak in the NFL. Closest to them is 8 straight games with a turnover force in the league. And that's what they did last week against New England. New England outgained them 393 to 259. Everything in the stat sheet said New England should have won that game, but what happened? Well, 2 key takeaways, one by Xavier Howard late that helped seal the game, and they didn't have any penalties. And that's what a Brian Flores team does. They're built on defense and limiting penalties, and they were able to win the game with that formula in week one, and that's what they'll try to do again in week two.
You know, it's funny. One of the stories coming out of week one was the NFC West going undefeated. A lot of people thought going into the season it would be the best division. They all won their openers. But I wanted to ask you about the AFC East, because this is an interesting division. We would look at it, most people would, the Bills would be the favorite. But you have a New England team we're not sure what to make of, rookie quarterback. A Miami team who was a tough out last year, his first season as a full-time starter. And then you have the Jets, who are rebuilding, and they have a rookie quarterback. What do you make of the AFC East at this point?
I still think the Bills are the favorite. I do agree with you on New England that they're a little bit of a question mark. You know, obviously with Mac Jones, that stole the headlines. How would he be? I thought he was pretty good in week one, even though they lost. You look at the numbers, he outplayed Tua. Now, it's one game, I get it, and they lost. But I do think Mac Jones, long-term, is actually going to be a good fit for that offense. And I think New England's going to be a contender this year. And I think Miami's going to be a contender. Again, remember, they only missed the playoffs because of that Week 17 loss last year. And after a rough start last season, they really turned it on. I think this is they started 1-3 last year. They finished 10-6. Yes, it was their defense led the way. If they can get Tua clicking more on offense, and after a hot start, Tua admittedly has not played well dating back to Week 14 last year. If he can get back to going how he was when he made his first few starts and this offense can get clicking, I think Miami's good too. I do think the Jets, they're going to be probably the fourth team in the division. I still think Buffalo is the favorite. I think New England is the question mark. Miami's going to be solid. 10-11 wins out of Miami wouldn't surprise me again this season. They'll be right there on the cusp of the playoffs, and I think New England too. But again, if you're a Bills fan, I get it after week one, because there are some things to shore up. I would encourage you not to jump off the cliff right now.
We're with Brandon Gaudin. He's got the call on Fox on Sunday. Now, you know, we got you on because, you know, I knew you were doing the Bills game. I did not realize, because I haven't purchased Madden since my son was little a long time ago, that you are the voice of Madden. So that's pretty cool. I actually was excited to get you on to ask you about what that's like being the voice of Madden, whether it's, I'm curious to see how it works, what you got to go through to do that stuff, and then, like, do you get notoriety? Do people say, hey, you're the voice of Madden guy?
Well, first of all, don't feel bad, because I haven't played Madden since I was 18 and I'm 36, so don't feel bad about that. So funnily enough, though, the guy who did the game last week on CBS, so Ian Eagle, was with Charles Davis. Mm-hmm. Charles Davis is my partner on the Madden game, so I'm already getting some angry tweets from Madden people saying, oh, man, we had to listen to Charles last week, now you this week. But it's been an honor. This is our 6th year doing it. It's something I never envisioned that I would be doing with my career, just because you think of calling games in real life. You don't even think of the voiceover project as something that's going to come into the fold.
Yeah.
But they reached out to me, gosh, at the time, 6 years ago, I was just starting in TV. I came up in radio, and I was broadcasting games on the radio for Westwood One. And they were moving on from Jim Nance and Phil Simms, and they wanted to obviously go in a completely different direction. And they reached out and said, would you want to come down to Orlando to our studio to audition? They had heard about my name and brought me in as a dark horse candidate. And lo and behold, long story short, the interview went well, the audition went well, and 6 years later, we're still doing it. We work every Monday, Tuesday, we spend about 4 hours recording the game and putting new lines into the game. So it's been truly not just a cliche. It's been an honor to be a part of that franchise. It's been really cool.
Does that get you like a cool table at a restaurant or anything? Do you like drop the, do you know who I am? I'm the voice of Madden guy.
No, and I like that they can't see my face, so nobody has a clue. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people in their mom's basements that play that game, and they play angry. And after 6 years of being on that game, they want to hear a fresh voice. So right now they're pretty frustrated that there hasn't been turnover. So I'm just glad they can't see my face at this point.
Hey, the last thing I want to ask you about, you know, you also do college football. I mentioned you had the UE-Nebraska game, and Nebraska football isn't what it used to be, but I always thought Lincoln, Nebraska must be a really cool place on a game day. And I know, I think you do some BTN work. So what, you know, in terms of the most fun atmospheres you have been in your career, have you been at Camp Randall, or what would be the places that you go, guys, you can't believe what it's like to do a game in this place?
Yeah, so I've hit most of the colleges, I would say, except I haven't been down to LSU, which I've heard is the best atmosphere. That's one I haven't been to. But it's, if you keep it to the Big Ten, Nebraska is the most underrated because they haven't won in a while.
Yeah.
And so people don't realize that it's such a good atmosphere. But they've sold out 377 consecutive games, and it's 85,000. And let me tell you, that's the only thing going on in the state of Nebraska on Saturday during college football season. So even last week, they're playing Buffalo, and they haven't won in a long time, and people are angry at Scott Frost, and you go there, and you would think that they've won 10 consecutive national titles. It's just an amazing game day atmosphere. So of all the ones I've been to, I'm not saying Nebraska is the best, but it's certainly one that I always tell college football fans, even when they're bad, if you're looking for a bucket list game, go to Nebraska. You'll have an incredible experience.
What about Wisconsin? Have you done a game there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that jump around's my favorite tradition after the third quarter. And I'll be there in a couple weeks, and I'm excited to go back up there because that like the whole booth, the whole press box, press row, it's such an old building that it shakes. You almost feel like it's going to collapse on itself. But that's my favorite tradition. You just kind of get chills up and down your spine when they do jump around at Camp Randall.
Awesome. That is awesome. Hey, thank you for coming on with us, first of all, and have a good telecast on Sunday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Brandon. Brandon Godden, he and Matt Millen will have the call on Fox. And, of course, we will have, for you here on WGR, John Murphy and Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday afternoon in South FLA. We thank Brandon for joining us on the Western Hotline. Best place, well, I'm trying to think. Oh, Clemson, right. I mean, you haven't been to a ton.
College?
Have you been to that many college stadiums? I mean, obviously, Syracuse.
No.
You grew up going to Syracuse.
No, not a ton. Clemson's the best one by
yeah,
far.
Right. He's right. Everything he said about Wisconsin, word for word, what he just said. Right. The press box shakes, and it's absolutely amazing. So, yeah, I would totally agree with that one.
Stat of the year contender.
Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. I got to get your billboard here. Hold on a second. Stat of the day, comma, stat of the year contender. Brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving with Cows of Buffalo container on wheels, mobile storage. Rent a cow today. Call 592-3343. Before you do it, do we have a – I know we have nominees over the course of the year.
Yes.
Do we have a reigning – like the do we have like this one is considered the top candidate right now? Or do we
always have a reigning stat
Who
of
is
year.
The reigning stat of the year then? I don't
– Brayton?
I got the list here. I didn't know – The most recent one was.
I haven't updated it, but there's a sheet above it, which I don't know.
Well, I've got them all here.
Okay, go ahead. What's the one that's tacked to the stat of the year sheet?
This is the one that was the for each of the last 25 years, at least one of the NFL's final four playoff teams missed the playoffs the following year.
Yeah.
We had. Let's see.
I know the Patrick Marleau stat is in there.
Steph Curry stat about 3-point shots in a game.
Yep.
Ichiro, batting average, Jager, squats per day, although that was really never...
We're throwing that one out. It's not
Should
really
I scratch
verifiable.
That one out? Yeah, right.
Here's Stat of the Year nominee from Paul Hembakidis, a content producer for ESPN and ESPN Radio, although I might need to find a clarification. So Jameis Winston threw a touchdown pass against the Packers that traveled 50 yards in the air. Drew Brees attempted 9,421 passes for the Saints and never did that one time.
Yeah, right. I'm not surprised. I actually buy that 100%.
Yeah, different kind of pass.
Didn't have the arm to throw it that far.
Did you see this touchdown pass?
I did not see the 50-yarder.
Well, let me tell you. I mean, Jameis threw 5 touchdowns and didn't throw for a lot of yards. He didn't have to. This 54-yard touchdown or whatever it is a masterpiece to Deontay Harris. It's beautiful.
I will look for it. If you have it, just tweet it out. But if not, I'll look for it. I will tell you that, having not seen it, I think it would be hard-pressed to beat the 50-yard in the air non-touch. Oh, no, that was a touchdown, too. Turned into a 75-yard touchdown. The 50-yard in the air, Mahomes to Tyreek Hill, throwing back across my body into the middle of the field, running to the right, strike. That was an amazing throw. I'll look at the Winston one, and I'll see how it played out. But I like that stat. I will tell you that I don't know that that's stat of the year when all said and done. We had a Patrick Marleau stat back in April. We got to get rid of the DeGrom stat. Patrick Marleau played in at least one game with 37% of every NHL player who has ever played in the 104-year history of the league.
Okay, the Mahomes throw was not as good.
Oh, you're kidding me. All right,
well,
I got to look at the Winston throw.
Right. The Mahomes throw is you're throwing it to Hill, just heaving it downfield, right, knowing the defender's not looking and Hill is. So
Winston,
you don't have to be super precise. I mean, it's thrown in a spot where the defender tries to turn around and Hill's there because you get Tyreek Hill one-on-one.
Okay,
this
I'm gonna
is
look
just
at this one.
This Winston one is just perfectly placed on the money, on the run, in stride, 50 yards, over the outside shoulder. It's just perfect. So, I mean, the playmaking ability of that Mahomes one is incredible, of course. But that's a –
yeah.
Let's see if my – I'm going to trust Tyreek Hill to make a play on this.
So this is – it's the touchdown pass off the trick play?
No.
Oh, that's why I'm looking at the wrong pass. Okay.
No, this is just the one to Deont – is it Deontay Harris? What's his name?
Hang on. I got to find –
it's their final touchdown of the
game. Here we go. 55 yards against the Packers. I'm sorry. I was looking at a pass from last season. Duh, they were playing Green Bay. Here we go. Okay. Uh-huh, right, back to pass, airs it out. That is a strike, kids. That's the throw Josh needed to make with Emmanuel Sanders, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a nice toss. But it's just a straight drop pack. Come on. We want to have some creativity. We want to have some fun.
So what is the stat of the year candidate again? I apologize. I was talking with Paul.
Jameis Winston, in his first start with the Saints, threw a 50-yard air yard touchdown pass. Drew Brees didn't do that in 9,421 attempts with the Saints.
Poor Drew Brees. He's a nice guy, too. I feel like we're trashing poor Drew Brees.
No, not at all. It's just interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but I don't know if it's stat of the year worthy.
Well, but you know what? We had to eliminate some that we had so we could actually use it anyway. Because
sure.
We're throwing out the DeGrom stat. Right?
And yes. I have to.
We're throwing out the Jager stat because that was not really – that was more of a – hey, guys, I heard he does 1,000 squats a day.
Yeah.
Although there was recent video. What was it? Wasn't there a video of him, like, running through the streets of wherever the heck he lives at nighttime? Like, there was somebody tweeted out video of Jager running through the city streets. So we could use another one. Goodbye,
DeGrom.
Yeah,
I mean, I do have another one that I wrote down. I just didn't print it out and actually give it to you yet. It's the stat where the AFC East quarterbacks are the youngest since like 73 to be 25.
Oh, yeah. We brought that up on the show, right?
We did.
Yeah, right before the first game of the season.
I think it was that Jeremy was off, so Jeremy probably wasn't aware of that stat that we had.
Boy, you want to talk about a guy who takes a lot of time off. 803-0550 to join us. I meant me, by the way. I get veteran. It's okay for the Bills players to get veteran rest days. I get the WGR equivalent of veteran rest days. I just get them more than half the year. When we get back, it's our weekly fantasy football segment. You know, it's funny. You know, I didn't play fantasy football for a long, long time, and I always worried about the fantasy segments turning into, hey, can you ask Scott, I've got 3 receivers, which one I should play? And yet I'm that guy now. Like, I have to ask him about Tim Patrick. And Jeremy, you asked me earlier, am I playing Darius Slayton? I've got Alan Lazard, who wouldn't necessarily be like a game breaker, but I feel like the Packers are going to destroy the Lions, and Rodgers is going to throw for 957 yards on Sunday.
It's like a segment for stock tips, you know? Should I buy on the Packers?
That's right.
They had a really bad game. Should I sell the Titans receivers, because they also had a really bad offensive game, and Tannehill didn't, you know, it's football stocks.
That's so I've got questions, I guess, is where we're going with this. So Scott Pianowski's on the way, 803-0550, 888-550-2550 to join us. Bills, Miami, what are your questions or biggest concerns when it comes to this particular matchup against the Dolphins on Sunday? You want to talk about that? Great. You got something else you want to bring up? That's marvelous, too. Extra Point Show with Joe and Sal at 10 this morning, WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good young quarterbacks in the league, and we've got a few of them in the division here, which is exciting for the division, exciting for the NFL and the league, and he's a very accomplished player, and we know that. Very decorated, won a lot of games over the course of his career, going all the way back to high school even. So, you know, you see the growth, the progress he's made from last year to this year, and they're doing a phenomenal job with him. Obviously, he's worked hard, and you can see that. So it'll be a big challenge for us come Sunday.
This one, Sean McDermott, talking about the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa. And we are talking Bills Dolphins with you, but actually we can bring up Bills in the fantasy discussion. It is a question on my list of things to get to. Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports is nice enough to join us each week in the Thursday 9:35-ish time slot, and he is with us right now. Scott, it is Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Happy Thursday to you.
Happy Thursday to you. How's it going?
Well, I survived week one in the guillotine league.
He's addicted now.
One of us.
Yeah, well, don't go too crazy, because I'm pretty sure I'm projected to be out before the month of September. I'll be dead. So speaking of the Bills, fantasy duds in week one, huh? The Bills, unfortunately, didn't really do much from a fantasy standpoint in week one.
Yeah, I mean, at least we can write it off in the sense that Pittsburgh's defense, probably the best in the league. And Josh Allen is obviously going to have to get used to a lot of teams are just going to sit back in coverage and dare them to have long drives. And you know, the thing that Pittsburgh was able to do, and if you can do this, it makes defense a lot easier, but most teams can't do this,
is they could, and I'm preaching to the choir. You guys obviously know the Bills inside and out and watch them as closely as anybody, but they got a pass rush without devoting a lot of men to it, so they could pressure Allen and still have seven people back in coverage. If you can do that, defense is awfully easy, but it was, for the most part, a pretty high-scoring week. We saw points all over the place. A couple teams didn't show up. I mean, Green Bay didn't show up. Atlanta looks like a bad team. In the case of Pittsburgh, I just give Pittsburgh-Buffalo, I just give Pittsburgh credit on defense. Buffalo probably should have won the game. Pittsburgh obviously had the special teams touchdown, but I still like Josh Allen. I still like the passing game. I still like Diggs, all those guys, as much as I did before this started.
Speaking of the Steelers, Scott, you know, you could say, all right, the Bills, it was a bad day. For Pittsburgh's offense, you know, they added Najee Harris. He was a high pick in a lot of rookie dynasty leagues. If you're thinking about the Pittsburgh offense, are you out on their skill position players because of Roethlisberger? Are you making any sort of adjustments to where, you know, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Najee Harris, where you'd be slotting them right about now, given their week one output and what Roethlisberger looked like?
Yeah, Harris I still feel pretty good about because he's just going to have all the touches he can handle. I was not proactive drafting any of their receivers, and that was directly a statement on Roethlisberger, who I think the line I was saying all summer is that he wasn't on the back nine of his career. He was on like the 18th hole, maybe even putting out. I think Pittsburgh's going to try to be a team that wins with the running game, wins with defense, wins with balance, and yeah, you have Deontay Johnson, you're still going to start him. You have Chase Claypool, you probably have to start him. I don't think this is going to be a team that is in the top half of passing efficiency. I think they're going to scheme around Roethlisberger as opposed to Roethlisberger. And I think.
Oh, we lost him. We gotta reconnect with Scott and bring that back. And I was going to ask him, I think, in addition to, like he mentioned Green Bay for sure. Obviously, they were a disappointment from a fantasy standpoint. And he mentioned Atlanta. And I wanted to get to Tennessee, too. And I think it's kind of cool, Jeremy. Like, we, you know, the Bills lose or the Titans lose. And we, as not fantasy football, but actual real football, we have, well, don't overreact to week one, or you do overreact. Same thing in fantasy, too. Like, I mean, I think if you had Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry or A.J. Brown or, you know, Julio. It was a massively disappointing week one if you had anybody on the Falcons. And conversely, if you didn't have a Rams player, you might be running to find any available Rams player after what they showed in week one. We got are you punching it up? Okay. Sorry, Scott, we lost you. We got you back now. We lost you about, I don't know, somewhere in mid-comment, unfortunately.
Right. Basically, I don't trust Roethlisberger. I think the Steelers are going to look to win with running, with defense. And I don't think this is going to be a top-half passing game this year. Pittsburgh still might be a playoff team on the strength of that defense, and I still think Harris is in a good spot, but I am not bullish on the passing game at all, and it's directly because of their quarterback.
How about – Howard is talking as we're getting you back. How much are you buying in on the Rams? I mean, it's quite a debut for Matthew Stafford. People expected big things. I mean, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, these are guys that have been relatively reliable. You know, they lose Cam Akers, which is really still disappointing for – some of us. how do you like Stafford and the fit after week one?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, you know, Stafford played well. Kupp had a very productive game. Woods at least had a late touchdown. And two guys we may not have been sure about, okay? Darrell Henderson, what's his role going to be? Because they traded for Sony Michel, right? Well, Henderson had 16 carries. Michel had one. Henderson punches in the touchdown. And if you look at the whole key to tight ends, okay? Look, if you have Kelce, you don't have to worry about tight end. You have Darren Waller, man, do you not have to worry about tight end. But for the rest of us, we're looking for tight ends who get used, like wide receivers, who get used in the slot, who don't have to block on passing downs. Tyler Higbee didn't go absolutely bonkers, but he had a productive game. And I think Tyler Higbee's ready to be a top five tight end this year. I was very encouraged by his usage.
You talk about tight ends used that way. I saw a breakdown of Kyle Pitts' debut. While he didn't do much, and you said bad team, they did that exactly with him. They moved him all over the field.
Right. I'm glad you said that because I think that's what Pitts owners need to hear is that basically everything was in place for him to have a good game, and for whatever reason it didn't happen, but they're going to be creative, and he's going to be more of a wide receiver. I think better days are ahead with Pitts, and at least with the Falcons, you know, they moved the ball really well their first two drives. I'm not sure
I haven't had a chance to deconstruct that game and rewatch it yet. I've been a little bit too depressed to actually watch it. But Kyle Pitts, I still think he's going to be fine. I still think he's easily going to be a top 10 tight end, maybe a tight end. And I get it. If you drafted him, you probably drafted him in an early round, and you told yourself a story that you thought maybe he could be ready for 800 or 900 yards right out of the box. That may ultimately depend on what's left in Matt Ryan's tank. But I don't see anything wrong with Pitts himself or how he's actually used informationally and schematically. They still have a big idea of a role for Pitts, and I think that's going to show up pretty soon.
Looking at the rookie quarterbacks, Scott, Trevor Lawrence, 3 interceptions. I saw a prop bet. Will he break Peyton Manning's interception record, which maybe. The record is 28.
He could do that,
Of the rookie quarterbacks, we got a little bit of Zach Wilson, a little bit of Mac Jones. We're still playing these games with Fields and Lance getting in from time to time. 1 week in, what'd you think of the rookie quarterbacks?
I was really, even though they didn't win the game, I was very impressed with Mac Jones. I thought his pocket awareness was excellent. His poise, his decision-making, really only made one bad throw. The Patriots, of course, gave the ball away. Damian Harris. We had to hope he's not sent to Siberia after that late fumble. No coach likes fumbles, but Bill Belichick is at the very top of you just can't put the ball on the ground. I mean, Stevenson had one fumble and was pushed off the field. But I thought Mac Jones was really good. The thing with Lawrence is that, although I'm not in any way an Urban Meyer fan, I think a lot of his concepts that worked in college may not work in the NFL. But Trevor Lawrence stepped into a passing game that has some really good receivers. All three of them were targeted heavily. They even got their tight end, O'Shaughnessy, involved in the game. And they're going to be chasing the game a lot because that defense, if you go to Houston and allow 37 or whatever it was, I mean, how are you going to stop the really good teams? Houston's supposed to be the worst team in football.
Yeah.
So I think Lawrence is going to get there by volume. The thing with Wilson is that they're going to have a devil of a time protecting him. He was constantly pressured, constantly hit, and now they've lost Becton, their star tackle. He's out several weeks. The Jets probably have a bottom five offensive line without Becton. So I'm worried if Wilson can stay upright, although I was encouraged that he was primarily focused on Corey Davis, who I think is going to have a huge season.
Stop me if you've heard this before. The 49ers have a backfield by committee, an injury, and a guy that people want to pick up. I guess this is like death taxes and the Niners' backfield being murky, but also promising.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest story of the opening week, is that you had three players. Okay, nobody knew Sermon. The Sermon scratch came out of nowhere. The Ayuk, basically motion. He wasn't starting and he wasn't used. That came out of nowhere. And then Raheem Mostert gets hurt after two carries, probably in line to have a huge day. So Elijah Mitchell, 6th-round pick, goes over 100, has a nice touchdown run. I mean, it was a play that was very well blocked, and he got the first 8 to 10 yards because the play was successful. Anybody would have gotten that. But then he showed good speed to burst between two defenders and actually make the play a touchdown rather than just an effective run. So, on one hand, you could say, everybody's going to succeed in this offense. The blocking's so good, the scheme's so good. But Mitchell did finish the play and score. The problem is, now that Mostert's hurt, you get to figure Sermon probably gets back in the lineup. Jamichael Hasty only had that one carry. It went for a touchdown, but there were times last year where he was their primary back. They're going to get Wilson back at some point in the second half of the year, I guess, around the middle of the year. And Kyle Shanahan in week just underscores that, look, he had no interest in telling us what's going on. There were no inklings that Sermon wasn't going to play. There were no inklings that maybe Ayuk had been passed on the depth chart. I know he's coming back from a hamstring injury, so game, but he's no interest in informing us. So I get it. If you went out and got Mitchell, I get it. There's a plausible upside for him, but I get a figure that there's going to be other weeks where other backs have 100 yards and a touchdown, and it's not Elijah Mitchell. I put in competitive bids for him. I wasn't necessarily heartbroken when none of them won. In some of my leagues, it went for entire fab budgets. And again, you have to play to what your situation is. If you lost Gus Edwards, if you lost Raheem Mostert, if you had Trey Sermon, maybe you're desperate. Maybe Zach Moss was something we're counting on. Maybe you're all of a sudden desperate in the running back position and you had to just take a chance on somebody. I get it. You have to play to your context. Because I didn't have teams that found themselves in that quandary, I just didn't make a
and all in bid on Mitchell. As you, murky is the right word. This is a very murky backfield, and I think the Niners are going to be the team that has the biggest gap between real-life value, this is a Super Bowl contender, and fantasy value, where I think it's going to be very difficult to figure out what they're doing. And by the way, I didn't even mention, they used both their quarterbacks, yeah, primarily Garoppolo, but one of the touchdowns went to Trey Lance. We don't even know what quarterback. If somebody just told you there's been a touchdown in San Francisco, you don't know if Garoppolo threw it. You don't know if Lance ran it in. I mean, there's just so many different things going on here.
On Fab Budgets, one last one. Tim Patrick, Howard picked him up. I picked him up in another league as well. I mean, he it's not just about the Judy injury, I don't think. I mean, he's actually had some decent production for Denver last year at the end of the year as well.
Yeah, you guys are such good players. Because I think that was a very smart move. Now, I'm sad, depressed, really. I thought Jerry Judy was on his way to like 100 catch season, and he looked very good before he got hurt. And we know, now, first of all, you shot the injury. First, it was like, oh, my God, his season's over. Well, only a high ankle sprain. I mean, who knows? That could be 2 months. Mm-hmm. That could also be something that just nags him the rest of the season. So we don't know. It's entirely possible that Jerry Judy's season turns into a wash. I mean, we hope he comes back soon, but you got to be realistic about an injury like that. But Tim Patrick has a physical profile that makes sense at the goal line. I thought Teddy Bridgewater played very well, and it's nice to see some stability at that quarterback spot because Drew Lock was really frustrating to watch last year, and then they had back because of COVID. I would love to see Teddy Bridgewater, a good guy who just deserves to have a healthy season. You know, last year he did play most of the year, but for whatever reason couldn't really connect with a good set of receivers in Carolina. But Denver looks dangerous. They have a really good schedule to start the season. I mean, they're favored against Jacksonville this week, and their defense is somebody who I'm riding. I would have liked a little bit more production last week against the Giants. But I think, Patrick, this team that nobody wants injuries, most teams aren't well-equipped to handle them, but Denver might have had the deepest group of receivers as far as who were their four and five guys. You know, the fact that Patrick wasn't even a starter on opening day shows you how strong their receiver room is. I think he's a good chance to lead this team in touchdowns. I thought he was a very – Mitchell was the, hey, look at me pick. I thought Patrick – and nothing wrong if you got Mitchell. I mean, I understand why people had to go after him. But I think Patrick was a really good secondary option who smart managers like you guys were astute to pick up.
Look at that, Howard.
Hey, I'm just going to let that go right there. And you just made my fantasy season. If I get knocked out Sunday, I had an astute pickup from Scott Pianowski. So I'm good. I can die happy.
Decisions. Life is about good decisions. Fantasy football is about good decisions. Make good decisions. Obviously, strange things happen every week. The ball bounces funny ways. You know, Tampa Bay's putting away Dallas. Godwin fumbles on the 2-yard line. I mean, somebody lost their fantasy game, surely, because they needed that Chris Godwin touchdown. That's just the way fantasy football is. You know, and the rook of the Raiders and Ravens, right? Somebody might have had Brian Edwards or Derek Carr. They need that touchdown pass. He goes down at the 1-inch line, and then there's an interception a couple plays later. I mean, you know, there's so many crazy things that happen in an NFL game or NFL week. All you can do is make the best decisions you can and then hope you get a couple of bounces to go your way.
Always fun to chat with you. So our reminders, you can read Scott's articles and his work at the Yahoo site, sports.yahoo.com, or just follow Scott on Twitter at Scott_Pianowski. And as always, we enjoy our Thursday morning chats. Good luck to you and your fantasy teams.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Scott. Have a nice weekend. We'll come back and wrap up the show.
I'm just looking at the projected scores in the Guillotine League this week.
Yep.
And you are projected at 94.23.
Ooh, that's better than last week for me.
Which is last.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm done.
But again, second to last is 94.41.
It's close there.
18 hundredths of a point, you know.
I do not need Monday night sweating
the
things
intensity. Listen, all you got to do is get a nice little performance from – no, you got nobody tonight. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, because I'm not playing Slayton.
But basically, if you don't have anybody in the game in Guillotine, you're just rooting for no points at all.
Right.
Here you go.
Whoever has Giants and Washington players, I need nothing.
Here's your look. Tonight, the guy that's finished projected second to last is Saquon Barkley tonight.
Okay, so I need him not to play.
If he gets shut down.
Let him play but not be effective.
If he gets shut down, all of a sudden you're going to feel a little better.
Yes, I will. Yep. Okay,
see,
good.
It's great. Instead of thinking, who am I playing against, a Guillotine League means you're playing against
everybody.
Single player
That's
in the
right.
league, which means you root for everybody else to have a terrible day.
Wow. This is the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. It's a great format.
Well, yeah, great idea. All right, well, wrap the show. Extra Point Show. Joe, Sal, warming up, ready to go. Top of the hour, moments away. WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
It's almost 10 already. Do you have anything you want to get to? No? We good? Okay. Don't forget Thursday Night Football.
I don't even know if he was there.
Is he here? There he is. We're super, super duper late. Did you have anything you want to get to? I'll just remind everybody about Thursday Night Football.
Congratulations to Sal and Nate Geary and Del Reed for the work they did last night for the Real Men Wear Pink campaign. All that raising money for breast cancer. Good job, gentlemen.
Very nicely.
I donated.
Good for you. Yeah.
Did you see?
Nate's golfing score?
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess he was lying about the 69 score.
Well, you know, I didn't say what, because I didn't want to say what the donation was.
Yeah.
I just felt like if Nate felt like telling everybody what he shot at the Bills Media Challenge, he could.
He didn't shoot that.
You know, he did not shoot his
69. Guys, if we actually did, like, we could match a donation for our golf score, we'd want to shoot higher, actually.
You'd want to shoot my score. You'd want my score, not your. You guys are all good.
You know,
there's plenty of time to keep donating, by the way. last night was a good kickoff. And no, listen, it was awesome. I already have over $500 in my and my goal is $2,500 by the end of October. So awesome. Thank you for bringing it up, Jeremy. It was fun to be out there last night. But I have to think of a good way to do that. Like, I want to shoot well, but I want to kind of correlate the donation. That's something we can be creative about.
Like I said, either you tank it or you use me.
You could just say, you know, how about pledging me $10 per par or something like that? That way you're out there to shoot well. And all that. Yeah, I mean, I was happy to donate to you guys. You're a great cause. I mean, you and Nate and, of course, Del Reed, who does so much work in the community. And it gave me a chance to take a little shot at Nate and have a little fun. So, you know, everybody wins.
How about number of trips? You donate based on number of trips up and down the sideline you take on Sunday.
Ooh, I have on my phone, I have the like, number of steps I take.
See, that would be a really, that's a high number, right?
On Sundays compared to every other day of the week.
Sure.
Which is crazy, yes.
Yeah. How many steps do you take on an average Sunday during the game on the sideline?
Let me just see right now. You guys, you can tell. I think like 17,000, but hold on.
Woo! That's a lot of moving.
Something like that. It's something like that. I have to check in. What were my steps last week? I'll have to look at it, but I think that's about what it is.
All right. So $1 per step would be a kind of a steep donation. Yeah. All right. Hey, we'll get out of the way because like your show starts in 40 seconds. Extra Point Show is coming up with Sal and with Joe. Jeremy and I will be back tomorrow morning for Football Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.